It's Thursday, January 9th, 2014. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. You're listening to episode 44, The Secret is Killing Things. Runtime for this episode is about 53 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Take Two on Last Time on Video Games. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler again.
And I'm still distracted.
They won't hear the first take, guys.
Yeah, but you referred to it, so...
You threw it into the ether. Like, when Yugi plays Black Hole, it gets sucked up into it, that's where you put it.
I've always preferred Rageki, but it's also better.
Rageki's a better card, that's why you prefer it. It's also banned now. I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh! In a long time.
Is it too strong?
It kills every monster on the opponent's side of the field.
Oh, God.
Black Hole just destroys every monster on the field.
That seems more balanced.
Well, they were both limit one back in the day, but then they made a whole bunch of things that are like Rageki but have alternate costs. Like, we should ban Rageki because only old people have it. Also, we should make I can't even remember what the mechanic's called now. Turn fusion? I don't remember. Synchro summon. We should make synchro summons.
Wait, what the hell is a synchro summon?
You need to have a monster with tuner and another monster, and their total stars have to add up to a synchro monster that goes in your fusion deck, and then you can synchro summon that monster.
That sounds needlessly complicated.
Welcome to Yu-Gi-Oh! I attack the moon!
Yeah, that really does. Every now and then I go back to my Game Boy Advance copy of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Every now and then I buy a new copy of Yu-Gi-Oh! To wonder what crazy mechanics they added to the game. Like synchro summons. They added like XYZ summons after that. I don't even know how those work.
Is there one on the 3DS?
The one I have was the DS one. There's probably one on the 3DS now.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Except with crazy mechanics. So they updated Magic 2013 recently.
Yeah, I saw that.
So.
I hear that's a good game.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good from what I could tell.
Well, Magic itself is just a very strong
game. Yeah, it's a pretty good game.
You don't last as long as you do by being a bad game. I mean, I don't really care for it because I don't want to upgrade and spend that much money on a collectible game. I'm kind of over that. Unless someone really re-releases, like, MechWarrior or something like that.
Well, that's why I like the idea of a purely digital form of that game, because it takes care of a lot of the tedium. Like, I almost prefer Andromedian to Dominion, simply because
you don't have to shuffle?
Yeah, it takes so much less time. Well, although, you don't get to play with other people, so...
In, like, Magic, part of the fun part of that game is going through your cards again, and looking at
and
it.
And trying to build awesome
and building
decks.
Building a deck, and it... Of course, I'm also, as we've described, kind of an old man on that because I like the tactile feel of having it and saying, you know, look, here, I have the piece or I have that card.
Oh, yeah, no, I prefer that, but I'm cheap, so.
Yeah, but, like, Hearthstone puts all my cards, like, in a binder automatically how I would sort them, and I can search them. It's amazing. Speaking of, I blew $50 on Hearthstone in the holiday season, or Spirit.
Holy
Whoa.
Crap, like, just buying cards?
Yeah, well, 50 is the most you can spend at a time. I think it's 40 packs.
But do they actually limit you? You can't spend too much money on our game.
Well, no, but they have, like, tiers of... Like, the more money you spend, the less you pay per pack.
Oh,
and
okay.
50 is the most. It's so, for 40 packs.
I think League is like that, too. The more you spend, the more riot points you get in any given pack.
With League specifically, it's only if you use a credit card or PayPal, because they get a bigger chunk if you use a credit card or PayPal. So they give you bonus points depending on how much you've spent.
Oh, that's
cool. Apparently you can't do $25.
You can't. Well, it's one of those where you have to do 5 or, I think, 20 or...
Yeah, there's set amounts.
But you can use Subway gift cards.
Yeah.
Subway goes through a company for their gift cards that's all standardized, and you can use any of those gift cards for League of Legends.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, there are a couple companies that share gift cards like that. Yeah. Actually, I have, like, a Chili's Macaroni Grill.
They're all
like,
owned by the same person, though.
Yeah.
That's why that is. Like, this is like Subway, Circle K. I don't remember the other ones. But yeah, I got two legendaries in my 40 or my $50, and they were the worst two legendaries.
What were they?
Awesome.
Millhouse Mana Storm, who is a 4/4 for 2, which is insane stat wise. But on your opponent's next turn, all his spells are free.
I was talking to my brother about that. I thought he said that was nerfed, that was only their next spell.
Oh, maybe. I should check. I didn't see that.
Because I showed him the Huskies video that was the one-turn win.
Yeah.
And my brother said that doesn't happen anymore because, number one, who has Pyroblast? And number two,
Pyroblast
they don't,
is great,
it doesn't do that anymore.
The other one is Harrison Jones, who is okay, He's like a 5-6 for 5 or something, decent stats. When you play him, you destroy your opponent's weapon and draw cards equal to its durability, which is amazing versus warriors, good versus paladins, acceptable versus rogues, technically usable versus warlocks and priests, and useless otherwise. And since
technically usable.
Yeah. Well, warlocks don't have any weapons, but they have Jiraxxus, and when they play him, they get a weapon.
Ah.
And priests have Thought Steal, which lets them copy cards in your deck.
Well, so if you have awesome weapons, then...
Yeah. Well, if it's like the World of Warcraft card game, you just don't see equipment from mages and warlocks because they don't need it. They are going to hurt you with their mind. They don't need the big shiny stick to hit you with.
Well, they cut out the middleman and just didn't give them equipment in this one. Because also, you don't have armor, you just have weapons, and armor is like a stat.
Ah, interesting. Gotcha.
But yeah, they also fixed the ranking system, so I'm not up against... Not everybody is Grandmaster anymore.
What are you now?
Like a 13 raid leader. The problem is the new ranking system means nothing. Like, it's way better. You get actually ranked against or matched against people that are a good match for you. But it's like, I used to be like a diamond and that means something. Like, they used the StarCraft one. Now they're all like based on minions from the game, but there's no real clear like hierarchy. Like, I mean, sometimes they're like, oh yeah, an angry chicken. Clearly that's the worst. But like, it gets really nebulous because there are 25 ranks.
That seems so that's a little way much. Too striated.
I don't know. Like, I like it. It's way better than the old one that was not nearly striated enough.
There's what, 20 in League? Because it's like bronze 5 through 1, and silver 5 through 1, gold 5 through 1, and platinum.
Maybe I just haven't played online games
and then
ranking
diamond
systems enough recently.
And, well, there's Grandmaster or Challenger at the top tier.
I really wish, like, shooters or MMO shooters had that type of system. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But
well, they don't care as much about ranking. So I've been playing a lot of that. I also spent $30 on Kingdom of Loathing for the end of the year. To get my stuff. Their Christmas event has been really good this year. I'm sad I didn't participate too much in it because I started when it came out and quit right before I got to the interesting stuff. It's a war bear invasion. And they drop robot parts that you use to make robots that give you stuff every day. And you have a limited number of robots. And this stuff helps you fight war bears.
Awesome.
Who drop gifts that you get.
Why are the war bears invading?
Because they hate Christmas, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know if it ever tells you. Like, the general is, like, all, like, noble and stuff. And he's like, sit down, chap. Let's have a talk. He's like, oh, maybe this doesn't have to end in bloodshed. Well, we're not wearing all these weapons to talk with you. So they are evil. It ends with Uncle Crimbo making a global warming machine to warm up Crimbo Town so the war bears will be too warm and will leave. And also he has robot slaves, so next Christmas is going to be awesome and it couldn't possibly go wrong. It's not as good as the Christmas where the mafia took over and Don Crimbo was in charge of distributing gifts, but
I remember
good.
That one, actually.
Yeah, that was my like first one I was really into, and that was a good one. And you put the Crimbomination in charge at the end, but I didn't play the year after that, so I don't know what happened to him.
I bet you there's a wiki somewhere that would tell you.
Yeah, probably. Actually, I know which wiki it would be. I just haven't looked there. And then lots of League. I spent also, I think, only $35 on that, and mostly I gave away gifts to people.
Well, at least 25 of that was also a freebie.
Yeah, that's true. Jason gave me $25 for Christmas.
Yeah, Jason gave the group $25 gift cards. That's how I discovered that you can't use... There's not a $25 option.
Oh, that's really awkward.
It was 20 and 5.
And a little bit of Batman. It's still mediocre.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. I got the magic lightning gloves. They like, all the changes to combat make sense now because clearly they're so... Magic lightning gloves don't totally trivialize the combat and just mostly trivialize it. But they're fun. You get to, like, electrocute people.
That's cool, but the combat was already so awesome.
Yeah, it's not a good trade-off overall. They seem to be the only new item added. And they replaced the line launcher with a dumb launcher.
Yeah, you were talking about that, which is what I thought the line launcher was going to be. I didn't really like the line launcher that much, so...
Yeah, I miss it.
By comparison to the tightrope launcher...
Yeah, there is an upgrade you get where you can tightrope people to objects in the stealth encounters.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but not as cool as you want it to be. Tyler, what have you been playing?
A lot of this week's game, I've also been playing Pokemon, and I just recently walked through the fourth gym, so that was cool, with no ground-type Pokemon.
I don't think I had any either when I did that.
But
I did either.
after I did that, I went and like did some of the subsequent plot event type stuff just outside of town, and then I wandered back in town because I haven't really walked around the city yet. And I walked into this random unmarked building. And they're like
you do.
Like you do. And there are a bunch of people on the ground floor, and you ask the receptionist, and she's like, I just moved into the city. I don't even know what this building is for. Like, okay, thanks. That's really useful. And it's only got 3 floors. If you go up to the 3rd floor, there's like a bunch of people up there, and they like talk to you. I think one of them gives you a TM or something. The 2nd floor is completely empty. And the first time that you get out of the elevator there, you walk out of the elevator, and then a girl apparates through the door with no walk cycle and walks or like floats around in front of you and says, no, you're not the one, and then walks down off screen, and then she's not in the room anymore. And if you go to there's a hotel just down the road from there. On the 4th floor of the hotel, in one of the rooms right next to the elevator, she's just like sitting there listening to the elevator, and she tells you not to talk to her because she can't hear the elevator as well. And I didn't really have a whole lot of time to look into this, but apparently she's in like 5 spots around the city, and she's just there. She serves no purpose in the game. It's just like no one knows why they put her in there. She's just weird and creepy. And
the reference to you not being the one makes me wonder if it has something to do with trainer ID, and if there is something to her that just hasn't been discovered yet.
That's possibly. I really feel like someone would have decompiled the source code already and looked at that.
Well, but the one guy who did said he wasn't going to post any of his findings to preserve the spirit of the game, a.k.a. so Nintendo won't sue the pants off him. But he says there are at least 2 legendary Pokemon that have not been revealed. And it's kind of cool that for once Nintendo did that without everybody knowing, since everyone knew Arceus was.
I was going to say, it's totally going to end up on Bulbapedia eventually. How did Arceus actually make it into the game? Was that like a mystery gift thing?
No, it was a download thing. You got the flute, and you had to go to like a Toys R Us, I think.
Okay.
Or the DS had Wi-Fi, so I think you could just download it. Like, eventually they just gave you the flute of summoning Arceus, and you went to, I think, where Giratina was in the game and played it, and it stairs appeared, and you went up, and there was an Arceus hanging out.
He's like, hey, I could have helped you, but I didn't. There's also, I never encountered Shaman or, like, a little blue thing that starts with it, Manaphy, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, though.
There are a lot of legendaries in that generation I never saw.
Yeah. Well, that was the first one where they had internet distribution, and they really wanted to take advantage of that for those things.
Which they didn't do very well, because you actually had to go to a place.
I think some of them you didn't. I don't know. I know on the DS it's much better, or the 3DS, they've done a much better job.
Indeed. Yeah, well, Mystery Gift Torchic over the internet.
Yeah, that was interesting, but like, I beat the Elite Four, and I haven't really gone back to the game.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, that's really where the game ends. Everything after that is kind of fluff. It's interesting fluff, in my opinion, but
I mean, it's fun if you want to keep playing, but if you don't, it's a good ending point for the game.
Indeed. You've become champion. Smell you later.
Well, I might play some more of it later and work up some different like teams and whatnot now that Tyler's got it and see if I can beat him a couple of times.
Yeah, Tyler's where I was when I sort of fell off, so I need to start it playing again. Keep up with the Jones.
Oh no, the competitive system that they did in this is so much better than the previous versions. Like, oh, it's awesome. They give you EV training and it's
All the online stuff is way better. You can trade from your box, from anywhere.
Yeah, wonder trading is just fantastic. You can just like send Pokemon off into the ether and get other random Pokemon. You can do that for hours. It's I think I might have already mentioned it on the podcast, but I got a Skarmory from some guy in Germany. And I'm not sure if he nicknamed it or this is just that Pokemon's name in German, but apparently it's like Tank Bird is what it was named, except in German. So,
well, I got a
it was like Panzer Schwash.
The funny ones is when you get like ones from Japan, so they're squiggles.
Oh,
and you can't read it anyway. It's like I have a squiggly Fennekin.
Also, you can't rename them because you can't give nicknames to traded Pokemon.
Yep. So you're stuck with whatever their unpronounceable name was.
Unreadable, not even unpronounceable.
Yeah, I don't know how I would begin to pronounce them.
The way they did the internationalization on that was pretty cool too. They just distributed one cartridge and you just choose what language you're in.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. Although, I don't know. I guess I would have had to have done that for digital distribution, so you could just download one file.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did. It's on my DS. I never have to put a cart in. Yay!
I have DS carts. I have a Layton sitting over in the corner there.
I got Link Between Worlds for Christmas, but I haven't started it yet.
So did Alex's brother. He had yet to start it, so I didn't get to pester him about how it was. So.
I've heard only good things about it. All right, Zach, what have you been playing with your...
I finally got the Beast working for my computer. Well, I tried taking it upstairs, so I was actually playing it on that TV we have in the living room.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
You said that it froze while alt-tabbing out of StarCraft. Does it keep doing that?
I haven't tried it since. I have a suspicion that it might be something, it might be a graphical card thing.
I don't know what would be wrong with that graphics card. That's like the one thing we didn't have problems with.
Like a driver or something. I don't know. I just haven't tried it since, and I probably won't because there's not really any reason to alt-tab out of StarCraft.
Oh yeah, did you update the drivers for that? That might be a thing.
The card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
I thought I had them updated. It hasn't found any more updates. So.
Okay, fair enough.
Played a little bit of StarCraft after I finished downloading that, and oh my god, it looks so, so pretty. Oh, I didn't know what I was missing, but they have the portrait animation, when guys die, stuff happens. When you light a Zergling on fire, it runs around on fire. Oh, it is beautiful.
I was the same way when I got my computer. I ran Minecraft. I'm like, oh, Minecraft is so pretty. I didn't even realize how. It's just blocks. How does it look so good?
Look at StarCraft when it's running on the highest StarCraft 2 when it's on the highest resolution. Oh, geez. It's just
You still can't see anything, though, because you're distracted by the ghost going, whenever he dies.
What?
The ghost death sound? Like, he's the most overdramatic. You'd think I killed Hamlet twice.
I haven't actually built a ghost in a really long time.
Oh.
So
they go, when they die.
Well, because I restarted the campaign, so I haven't gotten to the point where I can build ghosts. I just got siege tanks.
Okay, I don't remember, like, the tech tree in that game, other than they basically give you a unit per level.
Yeah, pretty much. I have Marines, Marauders, Firebats, Medics, Goliath, Hellions, and Siege Tanks. I've been playing a lot of League. Well, the funny one was we all got together. We had five people in the same place in my basement playing League.
Again?
No, before it was only three.
Oh, okay.
This time we had all five.
As I say,
I cast a spell. I don't know if it hit.
I at one point had 20 seconds of input lag. 20 seconds from input to...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, League bounces everything to Riot's servers, so we had five guys piggybacking on my network connection. It was a lot of fun, mostly because it was hanging with, you know, friends and playing the game, despite the fact that we were doing really bad, much worse than we probably should have. But it was still a lot of fun. And then finally, I finally got a chance to play MechWarrior Online, and it is so much fun.
Everything you wanted it to be.
Yeah, I was concerned that when I started the game, it would not be nearly as impressive as I'd hoped. But no, it is just as much as I'd hoped. When you start the game, when you get into a match, every mech has its own cockpit. It looks different for every single one of them. And when the match starts, your guy goes through the process of starting his mech. It is so cool to watch happen.
So do they have any sort of like training for that, or they just toss you into it and say, good luck, hope you don't get blown up?
They have movement training.
Okay, well, that's helpful.
I had to look up how to put weapons on a different toggle or different weapon grouping when I bought my Jenner because I was messing with it, and I wanted my six lasers to be on two different inputs.
Oh, you didn't want to fire all your lasers at once?
Oh, I still can. I just didn't want to do it on a regular basis because I don't have enough heat dissipation to do that. Well, eventually I stopped. I took one of the lasers off and replaced it with a tag. So I can now spot target for catapults and stuff, which is helpful because as a Jenner, I don't do much damage. The little things they did with this game are just amazing because third person, you've got a little drone that follows you around.
That actually represents the third person camera.
Yep. People can see it. Of course, you don't have a map in that view and it actually tells you, you know, this is how you do it. But if you're going to do it, there are some disadvantages to having the advantage to seeing all this other stuff that you can't inside the cockpit. But then there's the little thing, like when you shoot somebody with a laser, you know you hit them or not because it glows when it hits them. Whenever
that's really cool. Like being able to see the heat dissipation on their shell, that's awesome.
Yeah, and like I mentioned off the mics, the machine gun sound just makes me smile so much. Just listening to it going is, it's just, the game's a lot of fun. It does have some problems with being a beta and such. The fact that it is kill out and the fact that the servers aren't contiguous, so there's not multiple rounds. So when you die, you can spectate, but it's basically not worth it because the server's going to be down anyway after the game is over, so you might as well just leave and jump into another one.
But you could see how your team finished. If you actually gave a shit about your teammates, that might matter.
Nobody cares about their teammates. The other thing is, if you have a mech and you get killed and you leave the server, you can't use that mech again until that game is over.
Huh. That's an arbitrary decision.
I kind of like it, though.
I can understand why, but...
Well, it has made me switch between the Free Spider and my Jenner, because apparently, light on the top, light in the game, I like my lights. I like being fast.
And it is a consequence for death.
That is true,
it
but...
It is a consequence for leaving the server
Which
early.
We don't see very often in MMOs anymore, so...
Gear degradation...
Is a consequence for death in WoW, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay, now I meant like MMO shooters.
Also Swoter, because it's totally not WoW in space, except that it is.
I forgot about that. Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Are they shutting down the servers
yet? No, it's free to play. You lose your name now if you don't log in for a month.
Yeah, I remember you commenting
That's
on that.
That's silly.
Well, they need to free up the name, Zach, for all the peeps playing Swoter.
I read a comic recently and it said... The one thing I most regret about the next generation is that they're going to have a really hard time finding good screen names.
Yeah, I saw that as well, because now all they're going to have is blah, 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 and then a string of like six numbers to get one that isn't used.
I've taken to just using my name. The fact that it's spelled a little differently really helps.
Indeed. Well, like no one uses my screen name, yeah. So.
Well, it helps.
I've got online ones, and if someone already has it, I tend to just put the number of the year that I happen to make it in. That's really all the numbers at the end of my name mean, is that is whatever year I happen to make that account in.
I used to have, like, a ridiculously complicated scheme for this, but ever since I updated to Mizari, like, any variation of that, no one's taken. Except for Maple Story. Every variation of that name, including the last name, is taken. And I don't know, like, who the hell came up with that exact sequence of characters? It's not even phonetic. Where did that come from? So
your evil twin. Your evil Korean twin.
Oh, yeah, definitely my evil Korean twin. Speaking of which, I just remembered this. Apparently they're doing Maple Story 2. They're, like, redoing the entire game and just scrapping the old one. So
that's exciting-ish.
Yeah, ish. I like Maple Story. I haven't played it in a long time, but... It's fun, so...
I have mechs. That is the important thing.
Well, speaking of Maple Story 2, let's talk a bit about spin-offs leading into our game for the day. Secret of Mana, which in Japan is called Final Fantasy Adventure 2.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because it's a Final Fantasy spin-off.
What was Final Fantasy Adventure?
It was on the Game Boy.
Terrible one?
I don't know. I never played it.
The really terrible one, as if that narrows things down. With
okay,
Final
the
Fantasy.
Really terrible one from the 90s. There were very few of those.
I was going to say, yeah, the early Final Fantasies, I mean, Final Fantasy has some loading problems, but those were common on the NES. Final Fantasy 2/4 is amazing. Final Fantasy 3/6 is amazing.
7 was tolerable. 5 was pretty good.
Yeah, these weren't out in America.
Okay, well,
details. Yeah, and 7, everybody loves 7. It's a little overrated, but... At the time, it was an impressive game. It just hasn't held up super well.
Everyone loves 8, even though it makes no sense.
I like 8, okay?
Most games don't make a lot of sense when you actually think about it.
Now, this makes less sense than most game plots.
Have you seen Spoonie's, like, 4-hour review of Final Fantasy VIII?
Yeah, where the end of it reveals that Dr. Yeah. Insano
well,
is
Well, that's
him.
Where Dr. Insano originated.
Yeah, it's from him review. Playing that game.
so he could explain all the crazy science. Like, he started out as like a telemarketer gag about like, buy the new magic jammer. It uses science to stop magic.
No, you just have to discard a card from your hand.
That's another Yu-Gi-Oh! Callback. Also, he had the Fu Manchu running for president. Because villains always win when they run for president.
Does that mean you're actually the villain in Saints Row 4?
Yes, it most definitely means that.
Although he didn't get elected, right? He just rode a missile into the office.
Then he got elected. Because it starts out with a Call of Duty parody where you're like going through stopping these terrorists because they screwed with you in the last game or something. They fire a nuke at the White House, and so you climb it and disarm it. Well, Don't Want to Miss a Thing is playing. It's amazing.
Well, and everybody, like, you're getting replies where you're like, you're a great person and blah, 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 you know, like the noble sacrifice type stuff. It's hilarious.
And that's why no other game is good at all, because no other game lets you climb and disarm a nuclear missile. to don't want to miss a thing.
And then fall into the White House.
And then, like, it's like a Mass Effect parody, but your vice president, Keith David, who's a voice actor.
Who voiced the guy who originally recruited you way back in the first game. And they're constantly referencing the fact that he voiced him. And they're like, I don't sound like him, do I?
And he voiced the Black Commander in Mass Effect, whose name I can't think of. So Keith David, that is who is your Anderson. Vice president. And he's like, we only have enough clout to push one of these through the Senate, sir.
Cure cancer or end world hunger, yeah. I think, are the two choices.
The bill to end cancer is called the cancer.
Oh, that's amazing.
The game then the aliens attack.
Amazing. It's quite obviously a comedy game all the way through.
It's like a Mel Brooks parody, honestly, of video games. It's just amazing.
The Metal Gear Solid also a good parody.
That's good. Oh, no, you have to be stealthy and shoot out that light. What did the light ever do to you, Aisha?
What about the light's family?
Yeah, that's a good game that we haven't been playing. Spinoffs. It feels like a spinoff because it's so different.
Well, it was originally kind of it was kind of a spinoff of GTA because there wasn't one on.
Well, I meant Saints Row 4 to Saints Row 3.
Oh, yeah.
Since Saints Row 3, you don't have superpowers or The Matrix or aliens.
I'll say, you mentioned that Secret of Mana was Final Fantasy Adventure 2. I think I played Final Fantasy Adventure, and it's like an action-ish game, except you're only one guy, and you explore these really crazy... It's like my first Final Fantasy or something like that.
Well, they changed the name in America to Secret of Mana for two reasons. One, they thought they might have a franchise on their hand, and Japan wanted to come up with a new name for it. But they also didn't want to discourage people who thought it would be turn-based from buying it.
Ah, that's a good reason. Although, there's also Secret of Evermore is built on the same engine, I think.
Well, yeah, like I said, it did end up becoming a franchise.
Okay, so Secret of Evermore, don't play. Got it.
It doesn't do the stupid cooldown thing. You can actually like combo your attacks and stuff, so you might like it better. There's another one. Oh, Illusion of Gaia. My God, that's an amazing game. Although I think that might be part of the Terranigma family. I can't remember. All right.
Well, Secret of Mana.
It's a game about a guy.
Yeah, it's, you know, a fantasy RPG. The story is, anyway, you know, you start out with, like, history of the world.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
There's this stuff called mana. It's like oil, but it's mana.
And let's be honest, though, we're going to fly over the world that is completely and totally flat, by the way, because of the way graphics work. And they're just going over all this terrain, you know, here it's forest and woods. I'm like, it looks like you have a piece of paper. This is an awesome world. I can't wait to explore.
The humans built a mana fortress and the gods were like, no, bad humans. And then they had a war and destroyed the mana fortress, but didn't actually destroy it. They just sunk it because that's what most of the game is about, is the villains
also,
are trying to resurrect
it. Also, was
it
like a Death Star that was flying, or was it like a castle, or...
I think it's like a flying Death Star.
Is it like the flying castle in Final Fantasy VI, which is actually a burrowing castle?
Yeah, it's exactly like that, except it flies. So, also, it has a lot of cannons on it.
Also, no Edgar.
No Edgar.
Or Sabin.
Well, no. Everything's better than cannons, apparently.
What?
Day Nine's cats are named Edgar and Sabin, and I just realized that.
Are they identical?
No.
Oh, that's sad. But yeah, apparently the gods got pissed at that, and it's taken 1,000 years for society to redevelop back to where it was.
So you fall down because you're a klutz.
Apparently.
And then you find the secret mana sword and...
Which you apparently know how to use.
Have you seen him use it? He clearly does not know how to use that sword.
True.
He's like, ugh! obviously not a trained... Although
He knows where to stick the pointy end.
Yeah, that swords are wonderful in the fact that they're incredibly simple. They're like guns. Stick the dangerous end towards your enemies.
Spears are even more like that.
Because there's only one little dangerous end of a spear.
That is true. But he's apparently proficient with, like... I think there are 12 weapons in this game, or 10.
I read 8.
I think you described it best. Proficient is a word, but I don't think it really applies here.
Well, proficient, not skilled. He can use a chakram, but that takes a large amount of skill, so...
Has anyone actually used a chakram as a weapon in human history? Any real character or person?
Nonsense. There was that person in the Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Soon Sang Jang.
Yes.
Who did not actually fight in the War of Three Kingdoms.
I feel like a chakram would be kind of a useless weapon. Like, I feel like shuriken accomplish the same thing, but more effectively and using a lot less metal. I guess you could use it as a melee weapon and, like, punch people with...
That's what Xu Sheng Zhang uses, like, a death hula hoop.
kind of like a Tira from Soul Calibur
yes.
3.
No, but hers are, like, small. She has two of them. They're hand size.
Yeah, okay,
type
yeah.
Type of thing, not the...
They're like tambourines that you punch people with.
Yes.
Although, why you just have, like, punchy claw things, I don't know. Kaisers.
Because these are longer range by about a foot.
So something about Secret of Mana. They wanted it to be out for the holiday season. They only had 30 days to translate it, so they cut a lot of the story in text, and it really shows. The story is the worst possible thing in that it slows the game down and doesn't let you play, but it's also like, it doesn't actually have poor grammar, but it's so awkwardly worded and paced that it feels like it does.
It's pretty... I didn't realize that they did this. I thought this was just a poorly written game, so...
Well, it sounds like it was probably poorly written and poorly translated because of time constraints.
Also, the main villain is named Thanatos. Really? He's one of those villains who's like, no, I'm actually doing a good thing. I'm like, dude, you named yourself after the god of death. What did you think would happen?
Well,
oh man, I want a villain named Santa Claus. What? Santa's evil? No!
So, yeah,
he is
little
the
on the
patron
nose.
Saint of pirates.
Santa?
And sailors.
Oh. Hmm.
And that's children.
Odd. And war.
So, how'd they find, is that on...
No, St. Nicholas is the patron saint of children, pirates, and sailors.
How'd you find that out?
Well, that's the Catholic Church Registry.
Yes. Catholic. Oh, okay. That's Catholic
well,
canon.
St. Nicholas was a guy, and they later said that Santa Claus was the same guy, yeah. Because why the hell not? So... But St. Nicholas was apparently the patron saint of these things.
Yes,
so.
And he could perform miracles, so basically he's a D&D party on his own. And he's got Christmas magic, as we all know, is the most powerful magic.
Nonsense. He doesn't have the argument with his party of, should we break into the glassworks or should we break
he's
into
Santa
the glassworks?
Santa Claus. He can get down the chimney. There's no problem.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
It wasn't you who showed me this, was it? I think it must have been Ed. So the Infinity Gauntlet, that group of people who guards all the gems for that, Ed showed me a page from a comic where they're fighting Santa Claus with the Infinity Gauntlet.
No, like, I've not seen that.
And Doctor Strange is like, how is this even happening? And they're like, well, if you recall, and it does like a flashback, and they're like, we understand your plight, Santa. You can use the Infinity Gauntlet to help deliver all the presents on time. And it's like 30 seconds later, I'm like, huh, I didn't see him becoming evil. And then it flashes back to the president and is like, no, I was there for that part.
Okay, that is pretty good.
It almost made me want to read it.
That's
so.
A little weird just because Marvel, usually they acknowledge that Santa Claus is real and really exists. But like, no one ever believes anyone is Santa Claus.
Yeah, no, apparently all these random superheroes lent Santa Claus the Infinity Gauntlet, and then he went insane and mad with power.
Whereas DC, he either lives next door to Superman or isn't real, depending on the comic.
Oh, that's the Fortress of Solitude was at the South Pole.
No, they're at the North Pole.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
Or are they at the South Pole, but everyone thinks Santa lives at the North Pole because he doesn't want to get all that mail.
Aha! They'll never guess.
But the best comic page with Santa Claus on it, and I'll find this for the link for you, is definitely the one where it's the planet Apocalypse and Darkseid's like, he is coming, ready to defenses. It's like, we can't, he's breached the front lines, sir. And then he's like, you make it harder every year. Oh, man, okay, let's, naughty, okay, here you go. And he gets a call, he's like, Merry Christmas.
Okay, that is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, Santa Claus. Didn't bring me Secret of Mana.
You were good last year, apparently.
So the way the combat works is you have an attack button, duh. But whenever you attack, you...
Have a cooldown?
It's not really a cooldown. You can attack whenever you want, but if you're not 100% power, which takes maybe 2 seconds, you do barely any damage. You still get the knockback, so it can be useful sometimes.
Yeah, if you need to stunlock it while your teammates charge up their attacks, it's useful for that.
What teammates?
You get two other people in your party if you got that far, if you gave it more than, 15 minutes.
I played this game for 2 hours.
That was an hour worth of play to get there.
You guys went really slow, I think.
Well,
I think it's a really bad game that wasn't...
There's that, but
there's a lot there, but it doesn't give you anything.
No, and it really doesn't get any more than what you get on the surface.
And it's got the worst punishment for death possible, which is you go to the start screen and have to load.
Yeah.
And save spots are pretty common, but a lot of times I'd be like, okay, I need to go to Gaia's Navel, not this village. So I just go up and then I die and I'd be like, I guess I should have gone there and saved, maybe. Oh, wait, it's just right here? There's no path? Huh. And the save system requires you pay money, which isn't too bad, but it seems a little archaic.
Oh, no, the save system doesn't require you to pay money. Yeah. You don't have to sleep in an inn to save.
Oh, where can you save, then?
You turn down the offer to sleep, and then it offers a save.
Oh, okay.
That.
I never did that.
So, and there are some places that are just save points that don't allow... Like, you'll encounter the cat merchant on occasion, and he just offers a save or sell you stuff.
That's cool. So. But I didn't get there to any of those. And also, it never really tells you when you get gold.
Yeah, you just get some for killing enemies, and
so
it's there.
So I never wanted to spend any, because I'm like, am I getting this for fighting? I think I am, because it doesn't seem to be going down when I spend it.
You guys didn't get far enough to get magic spells, did you?
No.
No.
So, which is also something I'm interested in. See, there's a lot in the game that seems like it could be cool, but I played it for 2 hours and didn't really get any of it. I just got this boring combat, and also a lot of the monsters, like the little flower things, I would always just run into.
Yeah, those are ridiculous. Really well.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous. While,
they're
but...
just, I had to be very careful, and even then, sometimes I would just miss one.
Yeah. I got pretty good at.
And they take like half your health when they hit you. So that's either, well, I've either got to go back and then come back and fight through everything again, yeah, or risk going on and dying. And
they constantly respawn whenever you leave an area, which is kind of normal for stuff like this, but when they have those things positioned, there were a couple of them that it felt like they were positioned that I couldn't get by them.
When you get the third party member at the end of Gaia's Navel, I had to go back into Gaia's Navel like 6 times just to leave because it starts at level 1. So you get him, he's level 1, you're already level like 12 or something. So then you had to like go out, level him up, and then he dies in one hit, so you had to go back and heal. Okay, that's terrible. Pretty terrible.
This game is off compared, even favorably sometimes, to A Link to the Past.
Whoa, what? What? Compared favorably to Link... Okay. Yeah, okay, I like this game, but this is no Link to the Past. So
Link to the Past has...
I didn't really like either one, so...
You haven't ever played Link to the Past.
Oh, then I'm mixed up, so okay. Well, I didn't like this one, so...
In Link to the Past, you know, the combat system is similar. There's no charging up, but you hit a button to swing your weapon, and the enemy goes flying back and takes damage.
It's a lot more puzzle-oriented than this, though.
Well, it is, but also, in The Legend of Zelda, there's absolutely no penalty for skipping a fight. If you kill an enemy, there's a chance they'll drop health or ammo, but it's not a guarantee.
But you can also just cut grass for that or buy it somewhere.
This game, the only way to get experience is to fight. So if you try to skip a fight,
and
you're
too
hurting
low
yourself in the long run.
You're screwed. Although, how many weapons did you guys get?
I got the spear and the sword.
I got the spear and the sword.
Okay. Yeah, so you get boomerangs and bows and like,
I immediately switched to the spear because it kept things farther away from me than the sword did.
And the spear just seemed stronger, better than the sword in every way. I'm under the impression that you upgrade weapons, and so maybe the sword could have then gotten better, but...
That's the charge attacks for the sword end up being better than the charge attacks.
See, I didn't get any charge attacks.
You start with one.
Well, I tried... You hold down the button, right?
Yeah, after
I couldn't
it goes
get
to 100%.
It to work.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you do also have to master it first, though. And you master it just by killing things. So,
see, yeah, I never got, I killed a lot of things. I never.
It says, you know, your weapon level went up or something like that.
Yeah, I get to like level 2 with the sword, but I could never do a charge attack.
Yeah, no, it's just you hold down the attack button and after it recharges from attacking the first time, a little bar goes whoop, whoop, and it makes the most goddamn annoying noise in the world while you charge your attack.
Well, I think that just applies to the Wii in general.
What? This is a Super Nintendo game, Zach, first.
It's second, Nintendo in what? General, but. The Wii music and almost all the things that the Wii makes sounds for annoy the hell out of me. Just the general Wii does, okay?
What?
Okay, this is so non sequitur. I don't even know what you're trying to go for.
Not only non sequitur, have you heard either Skyward Sword or Twilight Princess? Because I have CDs with those music. They're amazing.
The Wii itself, not the games, the Wii. Listen to its downloads. The download,
Mario coin noise?
The loading thing when it's thinking. Yes, that's annoying as hell.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
I don't find that annoying.
No, neither do I.
I find it soothing, actually. But yeah, Secret of Mana. The menu in this.
Menu is awful, but I gotta give them at least one thing. At the very least, you can change your key bindings.
Yeah, you can, which is novel for a Super Nintendo game for some reason.
I feel like lots of them had it. Metroid has it. Like, at the start it asks you, and then you can change them.
Almost none allow you to do it in the middle of the game.
Okay,
so there's that.
I immediately changed it once I found that out. It took me a while to figure out the stupid menu.
B is your standard attack button. Who decided that?
I immediately took B off of that and put it on A because...
Yeah, clearly either A or Y should be your attack button.
B feels like an attack button to me. I don't know.
Well, for the actual...
The problem is it does everything else
too. That's true. Can you change that?
No, if you change the attack button...
It changes everything.
That's
what it
does.
It's the general interaction button. Now, for the original Super Nintendo controller, you had A, B, Y, X.
Yeah.
And so B was like a really awkward place for your thumb to sit. I don't know why they would have chosen that by default to be the attack button because it's like nowhere near.
I thought B
near...
was closer than A on the Super Nintendo controller.
It might. I don't know. I remember Y was by far the most convenient, but it's been a long time since I had a Super Nintendo controller. So
I never had a Super Nintendo, so...
Although neither it's laid out like it is on the Wii U gamepad. I could just go look at that really quick.
Yeah,
but...
B is super convenient on the Wii U gamepad.
Is A the one that's in the middle
that's
of nowhere?
Far. Okay. Well, it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's just, it's where the...
That's the one on the far
B
right.
B button would be on a 360 controller.
Okay.
Which would be a little more awkward than actually hitting... So, I guess on the basic controller, that B makes a lot of sense. But on the GameCube controller, which is what I was using...
A is the correct
A
button.
Is much more correct because that controller is awful.
A is correct because the controller is awful. Logic!
So, let's... Talking about the magic system, you're the only one who actually got to the point where you could use magic, but the first boss uses magic, and you know what magic does? It makes you stand there and get hit by a magic spell that instantly kills you.
Yep.
Okay. Can you even out? Can you get away from that shots?
No, I tried. They actually, if you dodge them, it actually turns around and follows you again.
That's what I thought. I was...
And then it knocks you unconscious, and then it can just sit there and pound on you. That is the worst boss fight ever.
And you have infinite health. I guess I should say infinite respawns. A guy will be like, no, Jeremy, because I name my character Jeremy. You must fight on.
Let me help you.
Let me help you by...
So how about you get down here and start hitting it?
No, this is a learning experience.
It'll build character. I'm missing an arm. Am I building character yet?
Are you level 2? Yeah.
And, like, in Gaia's Navel, there are the bats that have just a balloon spell. It just makes it so you can't do anything.
Yep.
And you can't avoid it. So it just means they get to hit you.
No, it's fair. Almost everything in this game is balanced for you to have all three people. But, like...
So maybe they should give you all three people pretty quickly.
Right? Before you fight the first boss, maybe? Like, I don't know. It's just...
Just make it so all three people happen to be living in the same place. You don't have to find your freaking party.
Yeah, then you actually have a common unifying theme. One of the guys follows you just simply because he has nothing better to do with his time.
That's what your hero is doing. He's saving the universe because he has nothing better to do.
The girl has by far the most interesting motivation.
Yeah, she's like her fiance, or her loved one got kidnapped.
And
or...
her father's trying to arrange a marriage to someone else, and so she has to go like find him, and... did you guys get to the water temple?
Yeah.
Her fiance is that blonde guy that's, like, leading that troop into the witch's place right before the water temple.
Oh, okay.
So.
See, that is
interesting. I never even met her, but...
His name is Dyluck, which I really want to be Psyduck for some reason, but...
Did you not go into the castle in the, like, second town? Because I don't think you actually have to, but I just thought I did.
Well, I went...
No, you have to talk to the king.
I went to the castle, but I never actually went inside. It was like, this is the castle, and I'm like, well, I'm trying to find the way to go get to Gaia's Navel, so...
Yeah, I thought you were...
I'm leaving.
I followed the plot line where you're supposed to go talk to Gemma in the castle.
Yeah.
So.
And when you do that, the like girl runs out.
I missed him then.
Maybe that's why you couldn't get into Gaia's Navel, actually. Maybe the path doesn't open
it's
up.
It's possible.
Until
that's terrible, although also exactly how I would expect the game to work. So I'm not sure if I can actually criticize
it
for it.
To the point where it told me, well, I'll be waiting there. I, now that you say that, I do remember he said that. But he's like, I'll be waiting there. And then I set it down for a couple days. And then when I came back, I forgot.
Well, and you know what he says when you get there? Hey, Jeremy, you should go to Gaia's Navel. Yep.
But part of that is you encounter the girl again, and she joins your party.
But you shouldn't have to follow that guy to find her.
No. No.
He should at least give you pertinent information while he's there.
I really expected her to join you the time you ran into her.
Yeah, me too.
She's just like there.
That would have been much better. Because then you would have had a second person to go through the terrible bats with.
Well, then you get to the castle and she's like, oh, you're a swordsman? And, like, you didn't notice that when you rescued me? Like, when I had a sword in my hand? Like, I don't know. It was kind of goofy.
So how does the magic system work when you're using magic? Since you're Zacker, I got that far.
So only two people get magic. It is the girl and the sprite, who I really think should be an imp. I actually named my imp Tyrion, so.
Nice.
Your main character doesn't get magic?
No, the main character is... by far the strongest attacker, and he masters all the weapons slightly more quickly than everyone else. He is your melee character, and therefore the most fun to play. Magic works, you bring up the command ring. Should we talk about the command ring
really
quick?
Well, I think it's fine. Zach seemed to dislike it. You hit Y is the default, I think.
There are two buttons. One is the currently selected character. The other is your other person's. It gets confusing after a while.
That explains why one button never did anything.
Yeah.
So once you get someone else in your party, that'll bring up their menu, and when you have two people, pressing it again toggles to the other person, and sometimes you can't tell which one you're on. So
the command ring is basically the like all the things in an RPG you would do besides attack. You can change your weapons there, change your equipment, which is different than changing your weapon, oddly, but that's just the way this game works, and since different weapons work differently, it makes sense.
When you have multiple people in your party, you can actually go, there's a tactics menu that's like a checkerboard, and you can set how they approach enemies, which is kind of neat.
Well, which is cool.
I did find that, but I didn't know what it did.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have done anything until you got someone else, so.
Like we've said a lot of times, I've said anyway, there are a lot of cool ideas in this game. The game just doesn't bother to try and engage you. It doesn't really tell you how to play. It doesn't really give you any motivation to want to keep playing other than, like, even the level up noise is not nearly as good as, say, Final Fantasy or World of Warcraft, where you're like, yeah, I leveled up. What ding,
noise
baby.
What noise does Final Fantasy make
da,
when
da,
you
da,
level?
Da. Oh, I guess I'm
thinking the victory battle music.
Although if you just play that every time.
Well, yeah, because it, your level up, if I remember right, in Final Fantasy is just the ding noise. It doesn't, but the battle victory music is so iconic and recognizable that it is cool.
And you usually level up at the end of battles, which is why
I
associated it with, like, there's no fanfare really when you level up. And like, I was never, like, my weapon leveled up, I didn't know what it did. When I level up, at least I see, okay, I have more hit points now.
Yeah, all your weapon level up does is allow you to charge it to another level of charge attack.
You can buy items and equipment, but they don't tell you what they do when you're buying them in the store.
And you have a limit of 4 on all of them, which is awkward.
And like I said, I didn't know, it never tells you when you're getting money, so I didn't want to spend it on something I didn't even know if I could use.
Well, I bought a bracelet and then couldn't figure out how to equip it.
But yeah, the menu is really confusing if you don't already know how it works. Like, yeah. Once you know it, it's really easy, but
with all these story breaks, so they take like 2 minutes to explain the command ring, maybe? Because it's not even in the operations guide. I look there, really? And it's like, it tells you how to activate the command ring, but that's it.
Which, I do give them credit for doing something novel for a menu system, but
I actually really like the menu system, but explain it. Tell me what's going on there.
Anytime you're going to do something new and outside the norm, explain it, because we're not going to know. It's outside the norm. We don't know what it does.
That's why file menus are so ubiquitous, because you don't need to explain them.
And I've, gone off on things like Assassin's Creed for explaining too much, and we are in the dumb gamer, hey, go over there generation. But there is a happy medium. You need to explain something.
Yeah, especially when it's something that you're not acquainted with. I assume that your player knows basically nothing about video games, but that they're also not an idiot. Like, that's really all you need to do.
Oh, that's a slippery slope, though. I mean, assuming they're not an idiot is kind of a shaky.
Well, then
they
should suck less.
Have you played this game before?
Yeah.
Did you have it on the Super Nintendo way back when, or
no,
was it
I
in your emulation phase?
Yeah, that one.
See, this is a game that's often lauded as one of the greatest games of all time. And there are a lot of... Tyler is making a... I know your opinion on that, Zach, but...
It's okay.
So is The Legend of Zelda, and you didn't like that. And that's a fair opinion, but... I can see why The Legend of Zelda is...
I can see why The Legend of Zelda is on a list like that. I cannot see any reason for this game to make a list like that.
It's got a lot of interesting ideas, but like I keep saying, it doesn't engage me. It doesn't make me want to bother to get through
all the crap. Ogre Battle had a lot of interesting ideas, too, and it's not on any other lists. And it shouldn't be, but it's not
neither
there.
Should this. So really quick, the magic system. The chick gets support magic. And
I'm shocked.
Right? And
really.
The imp gets attack magic. They make a really bad mistake of it. So you get a scan spell, like, 2/3 of the way through this game, that really would have made a lot more sense to get earlier, but they didn't give it to you for reasons. So basically, you go to the command ring, you choose an element, and you get a bunch of different elementals that you can make contracts with. I think there are a total of 8 of them. Maybe 4. It might just be earth, wind, fire, and water. Each of the elements has 3 spells, and you can level up in using particular elements the same way you can in weapons. So, once you get to, like, level 3 Undine, your healing magic on the entire party does, like, all your health all the time, and you just never run out of health.
See, that's also interesting, but I didn't even get to the point where I got magic.
It's way late in the game for his core mechanic as it is. There's actually the, did you guys fight the spiky tiger?
No.
In the witch's cave? Oh, yeah, I guess you didn't get past the guy's name. Okay, so there's a spiky tiger. It's regarded as the hardest boss in the entire game, and it's, like, the third boss. And it's weak to fire magic. You don't get fire magic until almost all the way through the end of the game. So I don't even know why it has a weakness. It's just stupid.
Seems poor design to me.
Yeah, magic is not terribly interesting to use, but it can affect your tactics a bit. So.
Neither is fighting.
I found the fighting all right. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't super engaging. I really wanted to be able to combo stuff.
It felt like Zelda fighting to me, but I had to wait in between attacks. And also, enemies usually fall down after you hit them, so you have to wait for them to get up.
Well,
and,
you can hit most of them while they're down. That's actually pretty...
I didn't encounter any enemy I could hit while they were down.
I could, but it only ever does, like, 2 damage.
Yeah, well, because you have to charge back up.
But, like, I think of, like, the bees that fall down.
Yeah, you can hit them.
They're invincible while they're getting up.
While they're getting up, not while they're down.
Okay.
Okay.
I would always try to hit them when they're...
This is something I couldn't figure out. Is there a block?
No. If you're not attacking, you're more likely to dodge, but if you're in the middle of attempting to attack them, then you will get hit.
And a lot of them, like the bees, if you attack while they attack, they just cancel out.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's a lot, but there's at least one enemy like that.
There are some where, it makes like a ching noise and the attacks just cancel. Although,
if you're going to use an active system like this, we need a block or a dash to get out of the way.
Well, you have a dash. It's terrible. So.
Yeah, it's not very useful, but... I don't know. I didn't really have a problem with that because, well, I guess Zelda does have a block. Link to the Past doesn't really because your shield is just will block.
It's passive.
Yeah, if you're not attacking.
It's still a block.
But it only works on ranged attacks. But it is still something.
Although the enemies in Zelda are way stupider than the enemies in
this
game. That's true. So you can just walk around them.
All right, so my impression of this game, I kind of want to give it more of a try. But every time I try, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm going to go do something else. So I kind of say skip it. Maybe I'll play it some more and have more to say, but...
I really like mastering all the weapons, so I'm probably going to finish it, but just because. It's a pretty short game, especially for an RPG in the 90s.
I'm not. I got, an hour, I got outside a guy's navel, and I'm like, I'm done.
There are games that use a very similar... Terranigma, guys. Just go play Terranigma. It's like this, but way better in every way.
There are good ideas here. I could see someone making a game inspired by this, saying, hey, I want to make Secret of Mana, but good.
Yeah.
I can see... that happening. But.
Secret of Mana 3 is amazing, but it's only like superficially similar to this one, and the fact that you get 3 people and you have attacks. So I don't know. Secret of Mana 3 is a great game. This is kind of a mediocre game. So
all right, Zach, you didn't like this one. So what are we gonna play next week?
Well, I'm thinking we're gonna go with something a little bit different. I've been prowling around. I found Operation Wolf. It says it's a light gun game. I wonder how this is gonna work on the
Oh,
Wii
I wonder if
here.
You get to just point the Wiimote at it.
I really
you
hope
both
so.
Both are gonna be disappointed.
I really hope so.
So next time on Last Time, Wolfang Fist, Buster Wolf.
I was going to make the Wolfane Fist.
I wanted to make Buster Wolf and couldn't remember what it was called.
Are you okay?
So
Buster Operation Wolf! This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, Jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page, if you don't want to hit the blog, at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You should probably click on it, or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is @LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated.